There's so much truth in that song. You know, if we don't give honor and glory to the Lord, at some point, we really haven't had a worship service. We may have had a meeting. We may have heard a sermon. But unless we give honor and glory to the Lord, we didn't really worship. Amen. And you know, it's so important that we focus on Him, honor Him. Because without our Lord, we'd all go to hell. All of us. You know, it's been off and on because of all that we've done. But we've been talking about how to be more than just a barely get by Christian, squeak into heaven as they slam the door behind us, but how to be an overcoming believer. How to be the kind of believer that is victorious, that gives a positive, honorable testimony to both other Christians and to the lost in the community. I want to continue that this morning. And maybe think about something that you might not have thought about. Start off with a couple of questions. When you left to come to church this morning, what's the last thing you did? Was it to check the doors to make sure they were locked at your house? Why'd you do that? Well, preacher, that's a dumb question. I don't want anybody to walk in and steal my stuff while I was gone. Well, let me ask you another question. If you were standing at the storm door looking out, strange car comes up in your driveway, three or four guys get out, and while they're getting out, they're pulling masks down over the face and get the guns out. Are you A, going to open the door and say, come on in, guys? Or are you B, going to make sure that the storm door's locked, slam the wooden door, make sure it's locked, stick a chair up under it, grab your gun with one hand and your phone with the other and start calling 911 for sheriff backup? What you going to be? Oh, preacher, it's obvious. I am going to protect my stuff. Because our stuff's important to us. And we don't want anybody to steal our things. Let me ask you a question. Is there a chance that the devil's stealing from you? It may be openly or embezzling, but is there a chance that the devil is stealing from you? Maybe on a regular basis. I want to look at that this morning and think about it and see what the Holy Spirit would say to our hearts. Turn with me first to the book of Matthew, chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And all of these scriptures are going to be obvious that you've known. We're not picking out something over in the back corner somewhere that you, from Lamentations or someplace that you haven't looked at in 30 years. Very familiar story, Matthew 14, beginning at verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, but the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. I believe that. Saying, it's a spirit. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus straightway spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You see, Peter had a miracle going, but doubt stole that miracle. Doubt and unbelief steals miracles. Now, if Peter had made the trip, round trip, when he was an old man, he could have gathered his grandkids on his knee and said, "Kiddos, did I ever tell you about the time I walked on water?" And impressed them. I'm not sure he ever mentioned this. I mean, because he blew it. I mean, everybody knows you can't walk on the water when the winds are boisterous. And in my mind, he and Jesus walking about the ship, I bet he was glued to Jesus' back. Like, because he knew the water under Jesus' feet was solid, but he wasn't so sure about the water under his feet. You see, he had a miracle going, but doubt and unbelief stole it. And now we remember not that he walked on water, but that he began to sink. Now, I'm glad he walked a little bit, because it proves it can be done under the right circumstances. But doubt and unbelief Satan uses to steal from us. Just flip back a page in your Bible to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Beginning at verse 54. "And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, 'Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence hath this man all these things?' And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, 'A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, in his own house.' And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." You know, they had heard about all the wonderful things Jesus had done. But doubt and unbelief kept Jesus from doing it in his own hometown. They missed out on the power of God through doubt and unbelief. Satan robbed them of miracle-working power through doubt and unbelief. They began to complain and say, "Well, we've seen Jesus. We know his mom and his dad and his brothers and his sisters. And we used to see him when he was a kid, and we saw him in the carpenter shop. He can't be anybody much." And they lost out. They lost out on experiencing what people in Capernaum and Cana and other places experience through doubt and unbelief. Now let's go back over to the book of Numbers in the Old Testament and see how this transpired there. Numbers chapter 13. Beginning at we'll start at verse 26. Numbers 13, 26. "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all those congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed unto them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, 'We came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it is floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and are great, and moreover we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we're well able to overtake it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and we were in their sight. And the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept at night. Going down to verse 6, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, tore their clothes. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. You know the story. God told the people, I'm going to take you in this land that's flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to take you to a place that you're going to be blessed beyond measure. You're going to live in houses you didn't build. You're going to have orchards and trees that you didn't plant. You're going to have everything you need. The spies come back, and 10 of them say, yeah, it looks good over there. The only problem is they got walled cities and they got giants. And we look like grasshoppers. And you know what happened? They got to murmuring and complaining and doubting the power of God, and they missed out on the blessing of God for 40 years. Now, Joshua and Caleb, they also saw it. But they said, hey, listen. It's not how big the giants are, it's how big our God is. And they would not believe the promises of God, and because of doubt and unbelief, a whole generation of people, everybody over 20 years old, except Joshua and Caleb, died in the wilderness. And only Joshua and Caleb saw the miracle powers of God. Now, Satan comes to us and throws up the giants. Satan comes to us and tries to bring doubt and fear and unbelief into our lives. He tries to make us look like grasshoppers when we need to look at how great God is. How big is your God? Now, folks, listen carefully. Faith is not denying the obvious. That's foolish. Joshua and Caleb didn't say, hey, Josh, you see any giants? No, Caleb, I didn't see any giants. You see any giants? No, I didn't see any giants. You see any walled cities? No, I didn't see any walled cities. You see any walled cities? No. David didn't say, there's no Goliath out there. There's no Goliath out there. There's no giant Goliath out there. Daniel didn't say, there are no lions in this place. There's no lions in this place. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't say, there's no fire in this furnace. There's no fire in this furnace. You see any fire in this furnace? I don't see any fire in this furnace. You know, some people think that having faith is denying what's really there. And what's really there is what's really there. But faith is believing that my God is bigger than those circumstances. The circumstances are real, but God is bigger. Amen. Turn with me over now to the book of Romans, chapter 4. And see how this plays out in somebody's life. Romans chapter 4. And verse 3 says, "For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Now verse 19. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness." Abraham didn't look in the mirror and say, "I'm not old, I'm not old, I'm not old." He didn't look at Sarah and said, "She's not old, she's not old, she's not old." I think I shared something, maybe on with a group on Wednesday night. I saw somewhere overseas where a guy tried to get the judge to change his birth certificate to where he looked like he was about, he said he felt 49 or whatever it was, and said even though he was 70-something, he felt 49, so he wanted the judge to change his birth certificate to make him 49. Hey, if you're 70, you're 70. Or whatever. Abraham, it says, did not deny that he and Sarah both were old. He just didn't pay it any attention. He said he was strong in faith, believing that God, notice verse 21, verse 20, staggered not at the promise of God, strong in faith, gave God the glory, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. God had given him a promise 25 years before, previous to that. "You're going to be the father of many nations." And he didn't have any kids. And he messed up when he had Ishmael. And God said, "That isn't the way we're going to do it. We're going to do it with you and Sarah." And the years had gone by. And he kept believing. God said it. God said it. Faith is not denying the obvious, but faith is believing in the goodness and the promises of God. And Satan is over and over and over again robbing the churches of power, of healing, of finances, of influence, because he's trying to make us think the circumstances are bigger than God. You know, it goes back all the way to the garden. "Hey, Eve, has God really said, did God really say?" Got her to doubt in the promise of God. You remember he even tried it with Jesus? There when the temptation. "If you are the Son of God, Jesus didn't fall for it. He knew he was the Son of God. But Satan tried to get him to doubt who he was. And Satan tries to get you to doubt who you are in Christ. Not who you are in yourself, but who you are in Christ. Mark 11, 23, 24 talks about whatsoever you believe, whatsoever you say, and shall not doubt. People talk about faith as a leap into the dark. No, no, no. Faith is believing the promises of God and acting on them. Faith is one of these little kids reaching up and taking mama, daddy, grandma, and grandpa's hand because they know they can trust grandma and grandpa or mom and daddy. Up at Prospect, I had this little girl. Made me nervous. She'd see me about from about as far as that back door there. She'd drop her mom and daddy's hand and she'd come a-digging. And she'd get about far as me from Leonard and she'd just launch herself. And it was catch her or not. Well, I caught her every time because she had faith in her preacher. She loved her preacher. I caught her every time. Faith is saying, hey, Father in heaven, I trust you. I trust you. And if you said it, you'll do it. If you promised it in your word, I believe it and I'll act on it. And Satan says, No. I'm going to steal it from you. How do you win? You resist the devil. The Bible tells you to resist the devil. You learn the promises of God. Not what the preacher tells you, not what the Sunday school book tells you. What does the Bible say are the promises of God? What did God promise you in His Word? And you stand on it. You trust the promises of God. Even if you see giants, you still trust the promises of God. And don't allow Satan to steal. You lock your doors. You don't invite those guys with the mask over their face into the house. When Satan comes and says to you, God didn't really mean that. God didn't really mean that for you. You know, there's people in hell right now that didn't realize the Bible said it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to redemption. And they thought, I can't be saved. I've done too much bad. I just can't make it. And Satan has convinced them to doubt God, to doubt God's love, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him. But Satan says, well, you know, that's for everybody else. That's not for you. And through doubt and unbelief, they've died without Jesus. And it breaks my heart to see the devil steal from God's people. Steal their health. And I know, I'll meddle a little bit. A lot of folks don't think God heals today, but He does. You know, over in Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all thine iniquities. Hey, we believe that. Who heals all your diseases. Well, you can't believe half that verse. And I believe the other half. If half of it's not true, the other half isn't true. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless this church. And Satan wants to steal all of your blessings. He wants to make you poor, sick, and sorry. Jesus said, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he came to give you life and life more abundantly. Well, I'd much rather have the abundant life than to steal, kill, and destroy. Sounds better to me. Be aware, just like you lock your doors, just like you notice that guy that's getting out of his car with a gun and the mask, be aware that you have an enemy who wants to steal from you the blessings of God. And learn that you've got a God that's bigger than he is. What was a cute little song a few years ago? He's the undisputed all-time champion of the world or something like that. You know, there's nobody bigger than God. I mean, he kicked Satan out of heaven just like that. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. In other words, that's pretty quick. Zoom! God says, you're out. He was gone. Satan didn't stand there and say, you don't really mean that. Are you serious? God says, you're gone, and he was gone. Now the devil would like to think, make you think and me think, he's more powerful. But folks, your God, if you really trust him, if you really know him, he's a great and mighty God. Don't let him steal from, don't let the devil steal from you. To live a victorious, overcoming life is to live a life acknowledging God for who he is. And did you catch what was said there in Numbers? When you disagree with God, he calls it an evil report. He didn't say that was, you know, I just don't like that. God called it an evil report. When God says something and I say, well, you know, that's not right. God calls it an evil report. I'd much rather hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant. I'd much rather live in the blessing of God. And I think you would too. Be an overcomer by knowing the Word of God, standing on the Word of God, resisting the devil, and trusting that your God is bigger than any giant the devil wants to throw at you. As we have the invitation time, if you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you need to rededicate your life or make some other decision, I invite you to come.